Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, my Dream Big listeners. Well, you know, some days it can be hard to get out of bed. And I noticed, you know, we're in the winter months here in Michigan, and I noticed that some people are struggling with anxiety and things like that. And, you know, so sometimes what I do is when I'm meditating and trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the show, usually something comes to me very quickly. Well, this week it didn't. And I was like, weird, you know? And so then, just like anything, when you ask God or the universe to give you a sign, it comes. It just doesn't come, you know, like, all right, I need it now. It just doesn't always come that way. It comes in different ways. And so, you know, I was trying to figure out something that's inspirational and can help people. The news can be very tough on you. If you're watching TV at all, you know, there's all sorts of things that can happen that kind of alter your state, and you're like, okay, I want to get out of this mood. How can I do that? So this came to me, and I thought that it was really impressive that it said it was from Daily Good, news that inspires. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's not funny, but it's inspiring that what you need, the universe will give you if you just ask. If you just ask. And sometimes I'm like, oh, come on, I've been asking for this and this and this, and it's not here. Well, I mean, maybe there's a reason for it. I don't know. I don't have the answers, and I don't pretend to. But what I do like to do is inspire and let people know that they're not alone, that we all have these feelings at one time or another. There's something that either gives us anxiety or something that we feel empty or something that we don't know where we're going and we don't know if we're on the right path. And if we are on the right path, what's coming next? God forbid we should ever just sit in what we have and just be grateful for that. I'm a constant planner. It's one of the things I work on continuously, is to just try and relax a little bit with it and trust. So this Daily Good news that inspires, it was an article that was in regard to Anne Lamott, who is an author. And the quote was, "I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are and does not leave us where it found us." That's pretty deep. And I thought it was just really strikingly beautiful. And I'm like, I really like that. So I chose to start reading it. And it was called 12 Truths I Learned from Life and Writing. Now, as a writer, that just totally captured my attention, because I think writing, and I tell all my Dream Big clients, and I tell anyone who wants to care to listen, you can learn so much from writing. You learn so much about yourself. And even some people are like, well, you know, what do I have to say? You'd be amazed. Once you start getting your head and your heart and your hand together, the things that come out of you, and then the great thing about it is you can go back and reflect. You can see where you've grown. And you also, truth hurts, can see where you haven't grown and maybe why you haven't grown. And so I thought this 12 truths I learned from life and writing was really, really inspiring to me. So I'm going to read it, and I know that, you know, that's, we'll have a little breaks in between, but it's really important. And I just liked the rationalness of it, the realness of it, I guess you could say, of where we all are and how we all have this path, but we aren't alone. We're just not alone in it. And I think that everyone has to realize that. And, so what I'm trying to do is embrace the thought that I'm not alone and that we can do this together. So let's start here. My 7-year-old grandson, this is what Anne was saying, sleeps just down the hall from me. And he wakes up a lot of mornings and he says, you know, this could be the best day ever. I mean, could you guys imagine waking up that way? I could. That's awesome. You know, this could be the best day ever. So I think everybody should try that tomorrow. And other times in the middle of the night, he calls out in a tremulous voice, "Nana, will you ever get sick and die?" Now, this is what I'm talking about. We can have, like yesterday, I had an incredible birthday celebration with my family, and it was awesome. And then this morning, I woke up with anxiety. Why does that happen? Why do we go the yin and the yang? And what can we do about it to help ourselves? So this is what Anne says. "I think this pretty much says it for me and for most of the people I know, that we're a mixed grill of happy, anticipation, and dread." We're a mixed grill of happy, anticipation, and dread. I think that's awesome. So here she says, "I sat down a few days before my 61st birthday, and I decided to compile a list of everything I know for sure. There's so little truth in the popular culture, and it's good to be sure of a few things. For instance, I am no longer 47. This is what she's saying. And I can say that too. Although this is the age I feel and the age I think of myself as being. So her friend Paul, she says, used to say in his late 70s that he felt like a young man with something really, really wrong with him." I love that. Here's her friend. He's 70 years old, and he's like, "I feel like a young man, but something's really, really wrong with me." So our true person is outside of time and space. But looking at the paperwork, I can, in fact, see that I was born in 1954. This is Anne. "My inside self is outside of time and space." Think about that. My inside self is outside of time and space. It doesn't have an age. I'm every age I've ever been, and so are you. Although I can't help mentioning as an aside that it might have been helpful if I hadn't followed the skincare rules of the 60s, which involved getting as much sun as possible while slathered in baby oil and basking in the glow of a tinfoil reflection shield." Okay, so I didn't do that in the 60s, but I did it in the 70s. And I totally know what she's talking about. And yes, we're all paying for it. "It was so liberating, though, to face the truth that I was no longer in the last throes of middle age, that I decided to write down every single true thing I know. People feel really doomed and overwhelmed these days, and they keep asking me what's true. So I hope that my list of things I'm almost positive about might offer some basic operating instructions to anyone who is feeling really overwhelmed and beleaguered. Number one, the first and truest thing is that all truth is a paradox. Life is both a precious, unfathomably beautiful gift, and it's impossible here on the incarnational side of things. It's been a very bad match for those of us who were born extremely sensitive. I can say I'm one of those people. It's so hard and weird that we sometimes wonder if we're not being punked. It's filled simultaneously with heartbreaking sweetness and beauty, desperate poverty, floods, and babies, and acne and Mozart all swirled together. I don't think it's an ideal system," she says. Number two, almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. So Remy and I were talking, my lovely producer, right before, and he said he was having problems, and he said, "Well, isn't it like anything? You unplug it and you turn it back on." So think about that. Number two, almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. I love that. Three, there is almost nothing outside of you that will help in any kind of lasting way unless you're waiting for an organ. I thought that was awesome. You can't buy, achieve, or date serenity and peace of mind. Let me repeat that. You can't buy, achieve, or date serenity and peace of mind. This is the most horrible truth and I still resent it, she says. But it's an inside job, and we can't arrange peace or lasting improvement for the people we love most in the world. They have to find their own ways, their own answers. You can't run alongside your grown children with sunscreen and chapstick on their hero's journey. I love that. You can't run alongside. Can't you see? I remember when my daughter was going to college and I was literally going, you know what? I could just get an RV and sit out in the parking lot and be there for you whenever you need me. And she's like, no. So you have to release them. It's disrespectful not to. Isn't that awesome? It's disrespectful not to release your children so they can be on their own journey. And if someone else's problems, and if it's someone else's problems, you probably don't have the answer anyway. We always think we do, but we don't always. Our help is usually not very helpful. Our help is often toxic. And help is the sunny side of control. Think about that for all us control freaks out there. And help is the sunny side of control. Stop helping so much. Don't get your help and goodness all over everybody. Now, that's not to say not to be there for people. Of course, you'll be there for people. Of course, you'll be a great listening person and be a shoulder to cry on. That's awesome. So here comes, this brings us to her number four. Everyone is screwed up, broken, clinging, scared, even the people who seem to have it most together. They are much more like you than you would believe. So try, this is really important, not to compare your insides to other people's outsides. Hello, Facebook. Repeat that. Do not compare your insides to other people's outsides. It will only make you worse than you already are. She's a little blunt. I don't think I'd say it that way, but whatever. Also, you can't save, fix, or rescue any of them or get anybody sober. What helped her get clean and sober 30 years ago was the catastrophe of her behavior and thinking. So she says, I asked some sober friends for help and I turned to a higher power. One acronym for God is the gift of desperation, G-O-D. Or as a sober friend put it, by the end, I was deteriorating faster than I could lower my standards. So God might mean, in this case, me running out of any more good ideas. Think about it. When you get to a point and you just don't have any more ideas, you don't have any answers, you just feel spent, that's where God comes in. Because you don't have any more. You're desperate. You get down on your knees and you start praying. Or you pray to the universe or you yell at the universe, please help me, you know. So while fixing and saving and trying to rescue is futile, radical self-care is quantum, and it radiates out from you in the atmosphere like a little fresh air. It's a huge gift to the world. When people respond by saying, well, isn't she full of herself? Just smile obliquely like Mona Lisa and make both of you a nice cup of tea. Being full of affection for one's goofy, self-centered, cranky, annoying self is home. It's where the world peace begins. Okay, I like this one best. Well, no, I don't like it now that I think of it. Number five, chocolate with 75% cacao is not actually a food. Its best use is as a bait in snake traps or to balance the legs of wobbly chairs. It was never meant to be considered an edible. I don't know if I agree with that. I eat anything resembling chocolate, so maybe not. Number six, writing. Every writer you know writes terrible first drafts, but they keep their butt in the chairs. That's the secret of life. That's probably the main difference between you and them. They just do it. They do it by prearrangement with themselves. They do it as a debt of honor. They tell stories that come through them one day at a time, little by little. When her older brother was in fourth grade, Anne says that he had a term paper on birds due the next day, and he hadn't started. Sounds like me, by the way. So, she says, my dad sat down with him with an Audubon book, paper, pencil, and Brads. For those of you who haven't got a little less young, I don't remember what Brads are, so I don't know if you guys do either. And he said to my brother, just take it bird by bird, buddy. Just take it bird by bird, buddy. Just read about pelicans and then write about pelicans in your own voice. And then find out about chickadees and tell us about them in your own voice. And then geese. So the two most important things about writing are bird by bird and really god awful first drafts. So she's talking about from like being an author, but this is about life, isn't it? So she says, if you don't know where to start, remember that every single thing that happened to you is yours and you get to tell it. If people wanted you to write more warmly about them, they should have behaved better. Isn't that awesome? I think that's great. I don't know if I'll be writing any stories about people that behave bad, but the bottom line here, I think this is really a great perspective about life. We try to take on life as a big world, as a big fat journey. What about if we just take it bird by bird, buddy? I like that. It makes me calmer. It makes me think, okay, it's just like step by step. And you never know where that step's going to take you. So number 7, she's talking about writing. So we're going to skip that. But number 8, families. Families are hard, 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 no matter how cherished and astonishing they may also be. And then it says again, see number 1. She said at family gatherings where you suddenly feel homicidal or suicidal, remember that in all cases, it's a miracle that any of us specifically were conceived and born. Earth is forgiveness school. Isn't that cool? Earth is forgiveness school. It begins with forgiving yourself, and then you might as well start at the dinner table. That way, you can do this work in comfortable pants. When William Blake, she says, she writes, when William Blake said that we are here to learn and to endure the beams of love, he knew that your family would be an intimate part of this, even as you want to run screaming for your cute little life. But I promise you are up to it. You can do it, Cinderella. You can do it, and you will be amazed. 9, food. Try to do a little better. I think you know what I mean. Now, everyone puts an emphasis on food, and I think that this is how I feel anyway. Society is really, really tough on people who have food disorders, whether it's anorexia or bulimia or, you know, just go to food for a comfort. You know, we all want to eat healthy, but there is a line to cross, like when to enjoy. Okay. So yesterday, yes, I did go to an amazing Coney Island yesterday. It's Lafayette Coney Island. I went there. I ate it. I had two hot dogs with extra chili and chili cheese fries. But we walked and we had a great time. So it's like, do you beat yourself up? No, just enjoy it. And like anything, it's just like anything. And I know it's a cliche, but do it in moderation. If I went to Lafayette Coney Island every day, yes, that could be an issue. But this was for my birthday and we had a blast and I enjoyed it. And it brought me so many memories of my family and growing up and my dad and my mom and all the kids used to go there after all sorts of things. And it just was fun to bring my daughter and my husband and eat, enjoy life. That's what I say. Number 10, grace. I like this line. She says, grace is spiritual WD-40 or water wings. The mystery of grace is that God loves. Oops, looks like I missed something here. Well, God loves, I guess. Oh no, here it is. The mystery of grace is that God loves Henry Kissinger and Vladimir Putin and me exactly as much as he or she loves your new grandchild. Go figure. The movement of grace is what changes us, and heals our world. To summon grace, say help, and then buckle up. Grace finds you exactly where you are, but it doesn't leave you where it found you. and Grace won't look like Casper the Friendly Ghost, regrettably. But the phone will ring, or the mail will come, and then against all odds, you'll get your sense of humor about yourself back. Laughter really is carbonated holiness. Isn't that a great line? Laughter is really carbonated holiness. I was with my girlfriends over the weekend. I'm having a long celebration for my birthday this week, and they took me out, and there's just something about laughter. It is like the best workout ever. So today, if you're feeling down, call somebody that makes you laugh. Be around people that make you laugh. It is just like such an opening for you. And here she says, it helps us breathe again and again and again, and gives us back to ourselves and gives us to faith in life and each other. And remember, grace always bats last. I'm not sure what that means. I'll have to look that up. She says, number 11, God just means goodness. It's really not all that scary. It means the divine or loving, animating intelligence, or as we learned from the great Dittoriorda, I don't even know what that is, the cosmic muffin. A good name for God is not me. Oh, that's awesome. A good name for God is not me. I love that. Takes all the pressure off, doesn't it? Emerson said that the happiest person on earth is the one who learns from nature the lessons of worship. So I hear this all the time, and I believe it. It says, so go outside and look up. I guess her pastor, Anne's pastor, said, you can trap bees on the bottom of mason jars without lids because they don't look up. So they just walk around bitterly, bumping into the glass walls. So what she's saying and what her pastor is saying, go outside, look up, secret of life. One of the things I'm trying to do this winter that I really never embraced too much all my years on this planet is to go outside even in the winter. Look up, look at the trees, look at the sky. It just, there's something about it that's freeing and bigger than you and peaceful. And so if you're having a rough day, try it. Put on your boots, put on a coat, a hat. That's why we have clothes. Just layer, 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 and really go out there and embrace it. So her last and final, number 12, death. Yikes. Wow, she says. It's so hard to bear when the few people you cannot live without die. You'll never get over these losses. And no matter what the culture says, you're not supposed to. She says, as we Christians like to think of death as a major change of address, but in any case, the person will live again fully in your heart if you don't seal it off. She says, like Leonard Cohen said, there are cracks in everything, and that's how the light gets in. And that's how we feel our people again, fully alive. So, you know, when you have friends or people that have passed away and you're, you know, you go to their funeral and your friend is there and she's broken up about it. Everybody's awkward around death. Let's talk about the people who have passed. Let's embrace that. Don't hide from it. And like Leonard Cohen says, all these cracks, they let the light in. So when we talk about people who've passed, it brings the light back. It brings the light of their life back. So also, the people will make you laugh out loud at the most inconvenient times, and that's the great good news. But their absence will also be a lifelong nightmare of homesickness for you. Grief and friends, time and tears will heal you to some extent. Tears will bathe and baptize and hydrate and moisturize you and the ground on which you walk. So do you know that the first thing, this is what she said, God says to Moses, he says, take off your shoes because this is a holy ground. All evidence to the contrary. It's hard to believe. It's the truest thing I know. When you're a little bit older, like my tiny personal self, you realize that death is sacred as birth. And don't worry, get on as long as you need. Oh, get on along with your life. Almost every single death is easy and gentle with the very best people surrounding you. For as long as you need, you won't be alone They'll help you cross over to whatever awaits. As Ram Dass says, when all is said and done, we're really just all walking each other home. I'm going to leave that with you. When all is said and done, we're really just all walking each other home. Be there for each other. Be kind. Share love and light. And I'll talk to you next week.